I'm going to talk to you about Philip today. We read in Acts 6 about Philip. Let me jump first to another passage about Philip in Acts 8. Acts 8, verse 26. And it says this in Acts 8, 26. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So Philip is actually pastoring a church in Samaria, and the Spirit of God says, "I want you to go into the desert, into the wilderness." Let me ask you a question. Do you believe what you just sung? Because I feel if the Lord was sitting there saying, "I heard that, I heard that," we said, "I would give everything to tell your story." We said, "I want to go to the ends of the earth." We said, "He is here and he is able." Don't sing it if you don't mean it, actually. Because if the Lord has his recording device on, and that is, I mean, that is so many gigabytes, that recording device. Let me put it a bit naughtily, but how many of you use WeChat? Maybe more WhatsApp and Line and these things, but WeChat. I looked at a video the other day, and what it showed was you can live in China and never leave WeChat, because you can, in the video, it showed somebody wanted their dog cleaned because their dog was dirty. So on WeChat, they contacted a dog cleaner, and the dog cleaner came, and they contacted their friend, and he said he did a really good job. So the friend said, "Well, let's have a meal together to discuss it." So they ordered the food through WeChat. They walked into the restaurant, and when you walk in the restaurant, WeChat signals you've arrived. You've already ordered the food, and the food is served. Nobody is serving you. It's all automatic. You pay by WeChat. They decided to share the bill, so one pays the other one back by WeChat. Meanwhile, the other one gets his dog cleaned by WeChat. And the guy who cleaned the dog invests his money through WeChat. The point was, you never leave WeChat. But there was a sting in the tail. Every single thing you're doing is available to the Chinese government and security services. Now, that's not my point. My point is, everything we just sang, the Lord heard. Now, Philip was challenged. The Lord said, "Leave your church. Go down into the wilderness," and he did. I got to skip through this a little quickly. And he met there a Caizheng Buzhang, a Jingji Buzhang, a cabinet minister in charge of the finances of an African nation. And the guy was reading the Bible. And the Spirit of the Lord, in verse 29, said to Philip, "Go near and overtake this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah, and he said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" How can I unless someone guides me? How can I understand unless someone guides me? And then Philip climbed in the chariot, explained that the cabinet minister said, "Is this talking about Isaiah, or who is it talking about? He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. Who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." So the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of some other man?" Then Philip preached Jesus to him. And in verse 36, the cabinet minister, as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" I just want to dwell on those two phrases. How can I unless someone helps me? How can I unless someone guides me? Second phrase, what prevents me? Really, they're saying exactly the same thing, aren't they? It's about mission, however you understand that word. It's about God using us to make a difference in people's lives. So I need to ask you two questions right off. Number one, are you willing to let God use you? Number two, do you think he would use you? Maybe the second one is more difficult than the first. Sometimes we feel, yeah, I think God could use me because he's God, you know, he can do everything. Well, he can't do everything because he can't lie. But he can do everything that's good. There's no limit to his power. But would he use you and me? I'm 73 now. I've been doing this for a long time. And I have a huge passion, and it's that we, you and me, as ordinary people, should understand that we serve a Savior who wants to use us in unusual ways. And if you're sitting there thinking, not me, he would never use me, you're probably the person in this room that God most wants to use. Because, see, that way he gets the glory. There's some Christians, you've met them. Yes, I can do this. I'm perfectly able to do this. I think God doesn't really want to use them because they take the glory. It's the people who say, well, bunanga. God wants to use those people. God wants to reach out and use those people. I don't have time to go into it, but one of my favorite passages is Acts 11. In Acts 11, 19, the big boys from Jerusalem went down to three cities, one of which was Antioch. And it says they preached only to their own people, the Jews. Haven't got time to say how wrong that was. But then it says some of them from Cyprus and Cyrene went into the city, preached to the Gentiles, and it says the Lord's hand was with them, and a great number believed in the Lord. Now, here's the point. Cyprus is an island. It's just a really, I mean, the economy is struggling at the moment. It's got a lot of Russian money in it, actually, but the laundry is broken at the moment. I'll explain that another time. It's an island. It's a nobody island. Cyrene, you know where that was? North Africa. So almost certainly they were black folk. Now, the main people walked in and didn't really make a difference, but the islanders and the North Africans walked in and they planted the church called Antioch, which changed the world as it was then by sending out Paul to preach the gospel. Now, Antioch was a very significant church, but wait a minute. Tell me the name of one of those people who changed church history. Tell me the name of one of those from Cyprus and Cyrene who planted the church in Antioch, which sent out Paul, which changed the world. The answer is we do not know the name of a single one of them. And you know why that is? Because God is making a statement. I can use nobodies to make a difference. And I believe God wants to do that for each of us today. So there are voices today saying to you, how can I unless you help me, unless you guide me? There are voices saying to you, do you know what prevents me? It's that you haven't yet helped me. See, I don't want you to feel guilty. I want you to feel I could do amazing things with Jesus through my life. Because that's been my experience. God does amazing things. I think, in 1971, I taught in Taiwan University, English. My English is quite good, actually. I think so, anyway. And I taught one class, which was Wai Wen Shi, foreign languages. I taught them English. And there was this girl, and I had a feeling in my heart, God wants to use her. God wants to lay hold of her life. And she said to me, I don't want Jesus, I want to pursue knowledge. But we prayed. At the end of the second year, she was still pursuing knowledge and ignoring Jesus. And I said to one of her classmates who'd become a Christian, would you take Xiu Hui, please, to the meeting? To the evangelistic meeting at the end of the second year. And her classmate said, Mayo Yung, there's no point. I said, please, zai lai yi ci, once more. And she took her to the meeting and she gave her life to Jesus. And for almost 40 years, she and her husband have been involved in very significant full-time Christian work. See, it's not about me being clever, because for 2 years she paid absolutely no attention to what I said. It's about being in the right place at the right time and saying, I want to guide them. I want to not prevent them from finding Jesus. And let me say this. In your life, there are people that only you can reach. Only you can reach. I will go immediately after the service to National University Hospital. About 25 years ago in Sim Lin Square. I mentioned Sim Lin Square, and I find Singaporeans say, oh, Sim Lin Square. Sim Lin Square is fun. It's 6 floors of computer. What's scary about that? And in the days, in the dark days of old, when I used a PC and not a Mac, that was my previous life. My Mac broke down. My PC, no. Please, Lord, you heard me. My PC broke down. So I went to this guy to get it mended. You know, you just, 6 floors, you just walk in anywhere. And I walked in, and we became friends. When I was down, I would go and see him. One time had a problem, and he fixed it and drove me home to where I was staying in Alexandra Road, and we just became friends. He and his family came over to Taiwan, and my wife and I went out with a meal with him and his 2 children. He's working for SMRT on signals, I think. Why am I going to see him? Because he had a major, major heart attack and is in a coma. And you see, here's the point. We want to comfort and pray with his wife, and we want to pray for him, because I believe at some level he may be able to hear us. His son is doing NS and is really struggling. Daughter, just in exams, age 18. Now, here's the thing. If any of these holy gentlemen in the front row went, they don't know him. You see what I'm saying? If you went, you don't know him, but we know him. So we can go there and pray for him and console his wife. Did it last week, and we'll do it again tonight, because we fly out tomorrow, so we don't have any more time. Now, what's my point? There are people in your life like that. And there are times in those people's lives, even if they seem hard, where they may say, how can I unless you guide me? And that's you. That's you who's saying, not me. Okay, Gina. We need to get a move on here. John, down. Not you, but the next slide. Shai Zhang. Okay, Philip had various excuses. We read the first excuse in the scripture reading that we had. And we read that Philip was one of 7 young men who were chosen because there was a dispute. Now, in those days, Acts 6:1, when the number of disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Anyone Taiwanese here? You may have Taiwanese, someone Danzhong, probably would be in a Chinese service, I would think. Because in Taiwan, I would say this is Wai Shangren and Ben Shangren. This is the local people and those who've come from overseas to live. The overseas widows felt, you don't give us the same amount as you give the local widows. So you get a dispute. So they chose 7 young men. Did you notice something? It says they were a good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And of wisdom. Barnabas is of faith in a later passage. So do you know something? If you tell me you're full of the Holy Spirit, may I ask you a question? That doesn't necessarily mean that you're of good reputation, and it doesn't necessarily mean that you're full of wisdom. Otherwise, the Bible wouldn't say it. It would have just said they were all full of the Holy Spirit. It had to say some people who are full of the Holy Spirit, some of the young men, did not have a good reputation. May I ask you, forgive me, I have to maintain Yahweh Taiwana, so I can be a little bit rude today. Do you have a good reputation with your friends and neighbors? I read a very challenging article this morning on the American election. Guomsimigotlang. I'm not American, so, but I have two daughters and four granddaughters living in LA. And the writer, Christian guy, was making a point. He asked a question, pastors, how many people did you lose during the election campaign because you spoke strongly for one party or the other? That's not our place from the pulpit, I don't believe. It is to give advice, to encourage prayer, but it isn't. This isn't a political platform. It's a platform for Jesus and his word. Whatever our political views, I strongly disagree with one of my daughters, and she even more strongly disagrees with me about the American election. I'm not telling you why. But that isn't the place for the pulpit. And he said, it's a very telling question to American pastors, how many people did you lose because you took a very outspoken, harsh line during the election? And how are you going to get them back again? Good question. They were of good reputation, and they were full of wisdom. So Philip had a day job. Philip took care of the widows. Now, may I ask you a question? One, do you have service in the church, in the cathedral? Do you have a place of service? I'm not saying, do you stand on the platform? I'm saying, is there something you do that may be taking care of the widows? Or worship. Thank you, worship team. Good stuff. Great stuff. Lovely. In the worship team, in the ushers. Do you have any service? But let me ask you a second question, not to the worship group, Booyang, different. If you have what I would describe as a basic place of service, is that where you see your whole life being? Can I ask you, do you have spiritual ambition? Do you have a yearning that God would use you more tomorrow than he is today? Because if you do, he will. See, I started a ministry called Chinese Church Support Ministries about 40 years ago. Less than 30 years ago, because the first 10 were different in Taiwan. And that's grown to wonderful workers that we have here. Meet them on the book table at the back, Sharon and Jean. Well, Jean's not here today, but Sharon will be. And Taiwan, wonderful workers. Malaysia, England, and so on. And what I found is, if God puts a vision in your hand, if you say, thank you, Lord, for what I have today, but I'd like it to be more, God will give you more. But be faithful in the one that you're doing today. Okay, reason number two. In Acts 8, it says, Acts 8:4, therefore those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip, Acts 8:5, went down to a city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things that were spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles he did, verse 8, and there was great joy in that city. Philip, because of persecution, had to leave that job in Jerusalem, and he went into Samaria, and he planted the first ever church amongst the Samaritans. Never had been a church before amongst the Samaritans. So Philip is the what in Taiwan would be the Zuren Musha, the senior pastor of this new and growing church. Miracles, deliverance, healing. Actually, I may be wrong, but I think God is saying to one person here, I want to use you in healing. I want to use you in the ministry of healing. So God is saying to that person, shoot. In other words, start praying for people to be healed. If it doesn't work the first time, John Wimber said, try 200 times. If it hasn't worked, then you might give it up. But persevere, because someone here today, God wants to release a healing ministry in your life. And it's probably the person who's saying, not me. Philip is senior pastor. Philip is doing well. So Philip could say, now, Lord, I was faithful with the widows. You've given me this mighty ministry in Samaria. But we just read what happened. the Spirit of the Lord said, go on. But before that, let's look at number three, excuse number three. Philip had problems. It says in verse 1, Saul was consenting to his death. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem. Philip had problems. They all had problems. They had persecution. They had difficulty. Philip had to leave his Mercedes and his HDB and run. Lost everything. His 56-inch television. He was planning to watch Arsenal play Manchester United tonight, but he had to run. Brothers and sisters, don't let battles and struggles prevent you from serving the Lord. Because the enemy of your soul will arrange more than you can imagine. We've been down here for 10 days. Last Saturday, I went to Wheelock Place to get my Mac fixed. Small problem. And the guy says to me, he says, hardware. Your sensors aren't working. I said, oh. He said, take 3 to 5 working days. I said, I'm leaving tomorrow week. In other words, tomorrow. Please get it done. I then had to run to, yes, Simlin Square. Starting at the first floor, second floor, third floor, fourth floor. You're Meren Tsu Dinao. Anybody hired Dinao? No. Got the fifth floor and finally found somebody who has computers, which I had to pay for. On Monday, I phoned the company that was repairing my Mac. You know what they said to me? Said, I'm really sorry, sir. In fact, I don't think they even said that. He said, the guy that tested your machine used the wrong device to test your machine. There's nothing wrong with the hardware. Now, if you've ever had on the run, because I preached 3 times last Sunday, to set up your computer to get your PowerPoint and stuff back, if you've had to do that, I do emails, America, New Zealand, China, all over the place. So I have to have a computer. Now, why me, Lord? Why did this dear man have to use the wrong machine for me? Because the devil wants me off balance. The devil wants me to say too much pressure. And you know something? He'll do the same to you. He'll do the same to you. God wants to keep us in a place of dependence. And sometimes he'll allow the devil to tweak the branch on which you're sitting. Don't give up. There's some here who say, well, I was serving the Lord, but it just got so difficult. Yeah, it does get difficult. But we just sang a song. God is here and he is able. Is it true or not? If it's true, greater is he that is in us. God is saying this very clearly to one of you here. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. It's a really difficult period for you, but it's okay. God will prevail. All right, next one. Another problem, a really important problem, especially in mission month. Blank. You're using a PC, John. All right. Nobody had ever done it before. You see, in verse 1 of Acts 8, it says, a great persecution arose against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they're all scattered through the regions of Judea and Samaria. But do you remember what Jesus said? That's very interesting. That's Acts 8:1. Anybody know Acts 1:8? Anybody? Shout it out, Acts 1:8. You will receive power, let's say it together, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses where? In Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, full stop. No, Samaria and the ends of the earth. Okay, here is Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, but nobody had done the ends of the earth stuff. So when God said to Philip, I want you to leave Samaria and go you know not where, Philip could say, no way. Nobody else has done that before. Old Peter, he came out to Samaria in Acts 8 and went home. What if God is asking you to do something nobody's ever done before? In fact, God is asking some of you to do stuff nobody else has done before. God is saying, there are some here, I really believe it, because there's some in every congregation. God is saying, I'm giving you a burden for that school. I'm giving you a burden for that nation. I'm giving you a burden for that family. You may be the only people to reach that family. God is saying, I'm giving you the burden for that person in that store that you meet every day in the market. I'm giving you a burden for them. Very quick example. We lived in Singapore 13 years. It's our favorite place to live, except my five daughters and five grandchildren. Five granddaughters aren't here. We had 10 girls in a row. Five daughters, five granddaughters. You're not allowed to join our family if you're a boy, except by marrying a daughter. Now, we used to live in Siglap, and my wife and I used to walk to the East Coast every day to pray. And we would pass this lady who was sweeping the streets. You know, you don't really have seasons here, but you do get leaves on and stuff. And her job, just a street sweeper. And we would talk to her and chat with her. And one time she said, well, my back is really sore. And we said, could we pray for you? We gave her something to read. We told her about Jesus. And then one day she said, I'm finishing. And we didn't see her again. And then, I suppose a year later, I was preaching in Church of Singapore in the Mandarin service, Marine Parade. And as we were in a kind of going out of a narrow door, and the Hokkien service was coming in, and a lady opposite me said, Nijido Oma, do you remember me? Oh, please don't say that to me, because I've either got to lie or offend you. I've either got to say, of course I remember you, and I haven't any idea who you are, or say no. And it was the street sweeper lady. I have no idea how she got to church. I have no idea what happened. But you see, we were asked by the Lord to do something which at that point nobody else had done, which is witness to her. You, some of you at home and abroad, God is saying to me, gina, gina, gina. God is saying, I got to stop just a second here. God really is saying to some of you, don't tell me nobody's ever done it before, because I'm telling you to do it. I don't need to define it. And let me tell you something, your destiny is in obedience to that. God came out of a clear blue sky when I was a Cambridge University student and called me to serve China and the Chinese people. I had no mission background. I had no concern for the Chinese people whatsoever. But God said, this is what I call you to do. So he's calling some of you to stuff. Do it. Because your destiny, your enjoyment, your fulfillment lies in that. All right, John, we got to move. Number five. When he went to the wilderness, who did he meet? Ethiopian. Not Jewish. He was a Jew, but he wasn't Jewish. He was African. Number six. Not only that, he was a eunuch. And if you look actually at Deuteronomy 23:1, it specifically says those who are by accident or design eunuchs, frankly, can't go into the house of God. So for two reasons, Philip could walk by. One, because he was a foreigner. Secondly, because he was not entitled to go into the house of God because he was a eunuch. Philip never hesitated for a minute. So what if I'm missing God because they're not the same background as me? What if I'm missing God because they're not even the same race as me? What if I'm missing God because they're slightly stupid or handicapped or have difficulty or I can't understand them that well, or their culture is different, and they don't behave as I do? What if I'm missing God because those very people... Do you know that after Brexit in England, you know what Brexit is? no politics from the pulpit, so I'm not going to tell you what I feel about it. But I may take out a Scottish passport because I was born in Scotland. After Brexit, there's been a significant rise in racial attacks in the UK. Do you know what that says to us? Christians, we're the different people. I watched a video clip on TV the other day. You know what it was? It was a, I think, Indian girl in the UK saying, if you see on an underground train racial prejudice, stand with the person being abused. And if you can, with your cell phone, and she actually gave an example of it, capture the person who's saying it. Effing and being, you don't belong here. Get out of our country. And report them to the police. Don't walk away and ignore. You know why? Because that's a fantastic opportunity for the gospel. That we're different. Because it's not about color of skin or ethnic background. It's about the love of Jesus. There's only one division in my life. That's know Jesus or not know Jesus. That's the only one that matters. Okay. John, we're almost done. Number 7. Philip leads this man to the Lord. The guy is rejoicing. Verse 39. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more. And the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. And Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities until he came to Caesarea. It's very easy for Philip to say, Bukumping, not fair. I thought I was going to be pastor to this cabinet minister, driving his Mercedes, live in his palace, enjoy his money. And God didn't even ask him, just picked him up and took him away. Wah, habukumpinga, not fair. No. Please don't believe that. If God does that, it's because he has something better. And I'll tell you what the better is. Acts 21, 8 and 9. Paul is on his way to Jerusalem to be persecuted. Paul is lonely. Paul is under pressure. Prophetic words saying you're in for trouble. And it says this, on the next day, We who were Paul's companions departed and came to Caesarea and entered the house of Philip the evangelist, who was one of the 7, and stayed with him. Now this man had 4 virgin daughters who prophesied, and as we stayed there many days. You know what that tells me? In 2 verses, when God took him to Caesarea, God is a matchmaker. He met his wife, and he had at least 4 children, all of whom were godly daughters. And he had a house that was big enough for all Paul's party to stay in it. See, God, please never believe that God ditches you. God just wants to use you and throw you out. I have educated 5 children. I've seen God provide remarkably when we didn't have the money to educate them well. I've seen God provide remarkably, very quickly. Eldest daughter went to school in India because we couldn't afford schools in Singapore. And because you can't go to Singapore and start if you're 16 years of age. You've got to start at 4 or whatever. Your system is very good, but it doesn't help people starting in the middle. She went to school in India, and my parents, who weren't believers, were saying, "Ah, you ruined your children's education." She went from school in India to Cambridge University. And what's more, because we were living abroad, the letter accepting her for Cambridge was sent to my father, who opened it. And it was God saying, no, I take care of Philip, I take care of Ross, I take care of Deborah, his daughter, I take care of those who serve me. Don't miss your destiny. Somewhere, someone, there's someone saying to you, how can I unless you help me? Can you hear that person today? Maybe in Singapore, maybe overseas. Because there's destiny for you and there's destiny for them as you follow the Lord as Philip did. Lord, I thank you for Scripture. I thank you that Philip was just an ordinary guy. He wasn't even captain of the team in Acts 6. But Lord, this ordinary man, this really pretty anonymous ordinary man, obeyed you and you used him. Lord, Spirit of God, come upon my brothers and sisters that they will have faith, and I will have faith to know that you're a good God who wants your goodness to spill out of our lives into many other lives. In Jesus' name, amen.